Live from Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Laura Camrath and Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
Hey, Brian.
Laura Camrath, how are you today?
Good. How's it going?
Man, things are good.
It's been a couple weeks.
Or maybe something. A month.
Yeah, it's been a little while since we've got some big ideas, small business going on.
Not for lack of big ideas.
No,
hopefully
no, not at all.
More for abundance of small business.
It could have been an abundance of small business that was holding us back from podcasting.
We're going to go with that. But hopefully some of y'all missed us if you've joined in before. Hopefully you find this valuable. We donate our time to do this. We don't make any money off this yet. Just kidding.
Specifically.
But you know, we're here to share ideas and in the hopes that it helps other business owners, entrepreneurs, salespeople, marketers mm-hmm. succeed in the marketplace. So
yeah.
Glad to be doing it.
Yeah, me too.
What are we gonna talk about today?
So today we're gonna talk about building the right team.
Good topic.
Your dream team.
The dream team. When I think of dream team, I think of the 1992 Olympics. They assembled the greatest basketball team ever. There were Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Karl Malone, Larry Bird, mm-hmm. and went through and rolled on everybody in the Olympics. That was the dream team. So I think about how am I going to assemble my team of might be built of employees that are administrators, mm-hmm. Might be salespeople, might be interns. There's a lot of places and things, a lot of holes you need to plug in your organization. How do you do that? How do you hire to that?
Yeah.
How do you fire as necessary?
Yeah.
Right? Hire slow, fire fast is usually the mantra out there.
You know, I think that can be one of the most difficult parts of it is, you know, what do you do when, you know, maybe somebody isn't the right fit or they're not, you know, performing in the way that you want them to.
I generally try to, I'm the people pleaser, everybody's got to like me, and this is just one of those instances where you've got to let that go and you've got to be a boss. You can try your best to fit the employee to the organization, but don't try too hard.
Yeah.
You know,
I actually heard a really good comment from Sandra Yancey, who I'm actually wearing the eWomen Network t-shirt today.
It's
Sandra Yancey is the founder and head of the eWomen Network, and she throws this big conference once a year for women entrepreneurs, and somebody actually got up in the middle of the conference to ask a question. Her question was, you know, basically, what do I do? I have somebody in my company that, you know, she's not performing the way I want and it's not working out, but I don't know what to do. And, you know, Sandra's comment was that, you know, by ending that relationship, you're actually opening up an opportunity for that person to find
a better fit,
something right. that's going to be better for them too.
That's right.
So don't think of it just in terms of like, oh, I'm taking this opportunity away from them, but you know, you're opening up an opportunity for them as well.
Right. Yeah. And you know, you hear this all the time. I'm not looking for the person that fits a role, but somebody that fits a culture.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of gut that can go into that, making that judgment call.
I'm going to talk about that later with our thought leadership piece.
Ooh, good. Good, good, good. I like it. But you know, how do you spare yourself from having to go through that? You know, one, identify if they fit into the culture,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the other is to have a really defined hiring process.
Yeah.
And I came up with my own that worked pretty well, and it really was a three-step process. And here's why it worked well. As a small business owner, you just don't have the time in the day to sift through all the resumes. You don't have the time in the day to interview all of them.
Yeah.
Everybody looks good on the resume. That's what resumes are for. But I'd find myself being like, I go through all this energy and effort, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hire somebody later. and I've shifted it, and I said, I'm going to do this on my time. This is how I'm going to do it. So I set up a group interview,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I would post a job wherever you got to post it. There's a lot of places you can post, right? Name a few because I'm drawing blanks.
Indeed.com.
Indeed. I was going to say there's one in Austin. So Indeed.com is one of the big ones, right? Post it on there, collect 70 resumes. sift through them, glance over them, make sure that it kind of checks out, and as many as you want, and send them an invitation to take a personality test. The one I use is DISC. It's free if they do it through Tony Robbins. So All you got to do is sign up for Tony Robbins spam, and you can take the DISC all day. So I make them literally just, you know, sign up for this, do the DISC test, and send me back the results.
Yeah.
Well, about 75% of them can do it. If they ask me any questions, they're out.
Yeah.
This is a simple deal. Like, go do it. So that's my first gate. And then my second gate is, you know, now going through and looking at those personality tests and saying, if this is an operations person, you know, I know how to read DISC results, mm-hmm. and I kind of work on which best fits the job role. And then mm-hmm. I narrow it down by there, and then I invite them to a group interview that works for me on mm-hmm. my time and give them a couple options and set it up so maybe there'll be 8 candidates left at that point or 12 mm-hmm. candidates. So then I'm investing an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, depending on how many I need. And it's not me trying to fit to their schedule
right.
or do 12 individual interviews. Yeah. Not efficient. Uh-huh. And then I'll be honest, not all of them show up. Mm. So that's the second gate. Do they even show up?
Yeah.
And then the third thing is, you know, then we go through the actual interview. Everybody's like, ooh, isn't that awkward? And mm-hmm. almost all of them, at least the first time I've gone through this, none of them have done it before. But at the end of it, they actually really enjoyed the experience. So you just round robin. One of them answers the question first.
Huh.
And then you go through that until you've gone through them all. I give each of them an opportunity to ask me a question and then just, you know, take notes and then go to the second round of group interview, mm-hmm. you know, narrowed it down. Y'all are the next candidates. Another gate. Some of them might not come back. They're like, well, that group interview thing was weird, Brian. Mm-hmm. I'm out. Yeah. And then from there, you can make the call as to which ones you want to bring in for a personal interview. And then you're kind of taking an hour, mm-hmm. you know, and then it's making that final judgment call. I'll tell you, that yielded a good result for a hire that I had. Mm-hmm. And it only took, 5-hour investment of my time through the whole process.
Wow.
Sorry that took a while. But
how many people did you end up hiring?
This is for one position.
It was one position.
And I narrowed it down from what I consider to be 12 viable candidates.
Mm.
And just at each step, I lost a few along the way for various reasons.
Uh-huh.
And really got down to 2. And at that point, it ended up just being a gut call, and it made the right call.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I brought that up to some people, and they said that doesn't work for all positions. That doesn't necessarily work for a sales position, or maybe you have to change it, you know, for an operations administrative, can I follow directions?
Mm.
Perfect, right?
Yeah.
But not for every role in the organization.
Yeah.
So, but you can vary it. You can make variations from that.
Well, I had a recent hiring experience that was quite different from that.
Okay, good.
I actually had been thinking about bringing on an intern for the summer, and I had been thinking about it, and, you know, it just kind of, I got distracted away from, you know, really thinking about it too seriously. I had other things going on. All of a sudden, I realized that it was May and I hadn't made any headway there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh no, you know, these students are going to be graduating. They're going to have their internship secured already. And, you know, I hope it's not too late.
Often the good ones already do. That's the other risk,
well,
right? You know, it's like, oh, I'll get the last of the last picks or the people that waited.
Yeah. I mean, so I actually. What I did, I went to Mount Holyoke College undergrad, mm-hmm. and Mount Holyoke, for those of you who don't know, was the first women's college in America, and it's still a women's Ivy, and some very prominent ladies come out of there, and also there's a, you know, historically they had the Seven Sisters women's colleges, which were Mount Holyoke, Wellesley, Smith, Bryn Mawr, Vassar, and Radcliffe, and I think there's one more. But so being that it was so late in the game, I actually contacted the Mount Holyoke Career Center, and I talked to the gentleman there who was in charge of helping students find internships, and he said, well, it is late in the game, but he thought it might still be possible to find me someone. And so I wrote out a really nice detailed job description. You know, it was for an internship. I gave it a nice title, called it Project Manager, which really is what I need. And It was also a remote position because, you know, I work remotely with a lot of my support staff and I use Zoom video communications. So, you know, it wasn't really necessary that the person has to be in Houston, you know. So that apparently was very attractive because students could go home for the summer and they could, you know, possibly have a, you know, side job and still do the internship. So I ended up with three candidates. And I ended up, actually, I was only looking for one intern, but I ended up with two.
Oh, good. I think that's good.
So I had an applicant from Mount Holyoke and an applicant from Bryn Mawr, who both looked very qualified and in a little bit different ways. And, you know, I was like, well, I think I can use both of them. So I ended up taking both of them, and they haven't quite started yet, but for them, because of their interns, and they're still college students, so I've assigned them books to read, and I'm going to put them through digital marketing training, and so I have no shortage of, you know...
Busy work.
Well, I mean, I have no shortage of what I would call developmental work, educational work for them to do. Mm. You know, outside of, I'm also going to be asking them to do tasks. So.
Yeah. I've had interns, and like, you have this guilt sometimes about, and are they paid or unpaid?
These ones are unpaid by me, but they get a stipend from their schools.
Ooh. All right. Well chosen. Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, because that's the other thing, you know, U of H is where I get my interns from, mm-hmm. and we need one for this podcast. So if any of you U of H students out there are listening, we could really use your help.
Maybe I should call my third applicant and see.
Well, they have to be here. I actually need them here because they can produce this for us. Oh. So we're hiring for free. But worth the experience. But no, you know, there's the paid versus unpaid. Check with your CPA. Some states may require it, but I don't believe Texas is one of those if you do it a certain way. Mine are paid just because for the sheer fact of it has to be competitive to get good interns out of U of H. But one thing I was going to say, you talked about picking up the phone and calling the person that worked at that school who's in charge of that. Mm-hmm. A lot of these websites, including U of H, a lot of these colleges have their own website. So
yeah.
Cougar Pathways is the one here in Houston. Mm-hmm. It's easy as an employer to register for it. And then you can, you know, the job description you talked about, you post that and then applicants respond.
Yeah.
Shoot you emails whenever they respond. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of manage your internship. So I will be posting, by the way, that internship here at U of H for any, I guess, communication students that might be interested in working with us.
So. I think that's an interesting point, though. I think with any employee, you know, intern or not intern, you know, you need to think about not just what are they going to be doing for you, but how are you going to be helping them to advance in their career as well.
Right.
And, you know, something that people really look for is career development and a pathway to a better future for them. And, you know, we've all heard the term dead-end job. And, you know, if your employees feel like there's nowhere for them to advance to, they're not gaining any skills, you know, they might consider leaving, or you might have, you know, sort of unhappy people working for you. So it's always good to think about how can you serve them as well as how are they serving you.
Yeah, and we could do a whole separate podcast on servant leadership. That's worth researching as a business owner, especially if you are adding employees. And I couldn't agree with you more. You know, the old adage, the CFO talking to the CEO, you know, it's the, you know, what if we develop our employees and then they leave because they're no more valuable in the marketplace, and then, you know, the CEO goes to the CFO, well, what if we don't and they stay, right?
Yeah.
So that's if you think about it that way, sure. And then it all goes back into, are they a cultural fit?
Yeah.
And I think that's, if they are, then they're most likely to stay. They fit into your culture. They understand the values and the mission, and they feel they're respected and like they're being developed.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, it might be a good time.
Well, one more piece before we do, piece. And this you'll relate to this too, is the contractor. So one of the things that I'm struggling, or I have struggled with traditionally, is how do you manage the contract work, especially if you are a small business that's looking to grow. You can't merit bring on somebody full time for maybe a certain role, but you can contract that work out, whether it's the marketing work you do, the copy or portions of it, which I'm sure is part of your model. Mm-hmm. Same with me. You know, we don't staff all of the expertise that we bring to our clients from technology with NoxServe, so we have to contract that out, cybersecurity being a big one.
Yeah.
And so what I've struggled with, and what I'd be curious to understand your thoughts on, I've talked to a lot of people about this, is how do you manage contractors when they're not your employee?
Yeah.
You know, what are the things you can do?
Yeah.
Some of the things that I've been told is, you know, milestone, you know, you've really got to be in the driver's seat as far as compensation as best you can and set milestones and key dates to make sure that they're hitting those dates and maybe even incent them financially to exceed dates, some things that I've heard.
Yeah.
Do you have any experience or thoughts about managing your contractors?
I mean, I think for starters, a good point to think about when you're hiring contractors is this an individual or do they come from an organization?
True.
So if you have if you need something contracted out and you hire an individual, you're somewhat at risk there because, you know, that person might go on vacation, they might get sick, they could possibly, heaven forbid, get run over by a bus, and now you're left in the lurch. So whether, you know, it's something drastic or not, if they're gone for a period of time, there's no one to fill in. So if you hire an organization, if you hire an agency or, you know, something, at least if that person is absent for some reason, that hopefully there will be somebody to fill in.
True.
The other thing is, you know, project management, you having to do it versus an agency or an organization doing it. So if you need a number of things, like I outsource a number of things in my business, and, you know, some things it's easy to find an organization to outsource it to, and some it's not. In the instances where it's not, I end up doing the project management because I'm managing that single one person versus maybe in a company that's an agency or an organization, they might have someone dedicated to project management.
Right.
And so you don't have to, you know, be doing that yourself, which, you know, depending on the size of your business, I mean, certainly as the manager, you don't want to be doing, as the owner of the business, you don't want to be doing all the project management.
and that's exactly where I'm at, right? So one of the things that I'm thinking about as a potential another hire is just that project management, to manage those things. Because here's the deal: you say I can take on some of this work, or I can do. I've been in IT and IT consulting my whole career, but really on the business development, sales, marketing side of it, I'm not actually going to get in there and turn the knobs and do the work. Yeah. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Nor should I be on the project management side because you know I should be tasked with growing and developing the business. Mm-hmm. So that you know, again, just that's kind of identifying a gap where I think you can't be replaced by software. In some ways it can, you know, good project management software, but somebody's still got to manage that.
Yeah.
That the relationship.
You still
with
have
the client
to have human to human communication.
Exactly. So one of my next steps, I believe, is looking for that project management hire. So NoxServe is also hiring a project manager. Reach out to our website for details and place to apply.
You could get you know, free interns from Mount Holyoke.
Yeah, maybe. There sounds like an abundance of female project managers I could take advantage of. That anyway. Okay, good.
Wait, that didn't sound very good.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Well, it's an all female school, right? Okay. Just making sure. All right. So, what are we talking about for thought leadership?
Okay. So, along with building your team and building your dream team. And Brian was talking earlier about bringing in people who match with your culture. I like to bring in some thought leadership here. A book called The CEO's Mindset, How to Break Through to the Next Level. And it's by the best-selling author, Vinny Fisher. And Vinny is CEO to the CEOs.
Yeah, I was curious who Vinny Fisher was. Okay.
So I'm actually not sure where I picked up this book, but he actually has a really great section in here on people and how to think of staffing your business and the role that you should be playing as the owner of the business and how to build the right team around you. And basically what Vinny here says is the most important thing in building your team is finding the right cultural fit. And I think he gave the example that, you know, sometimes businesses end up focusing so much on the what that they forget about the who. Mm-hmm. And so he gave an example in here. What if you had a somewhat broken down bus full of mechanics, or you had an immaculate, perfect bus full of preschoolers? You know, which one do you want? Like, you probably would rather a slightly broken down bus full of mechanics.
Right.
So, but anyway, so he's got this theory that, you know, the cultural fit is the right, is like the most important thing. And he says, finding your heartbeat allows you to hire for culture over competence. And he's got some details in here about what's important in finding your heartbeat, including your mission, your core values, and how those really play in to help you find the heartbeat of your business so that you know what's important in the hiring process and what to look for. So the other thing that he says in here that's really useful, well, he also says hiring through a no standard. So if you know what your culture is and you know what's important and you identify your core values, it's easy to tell when somebody isn't aligning with those core values.
Mm-hmm.
And so even when you go through, you know, is this person qualified? Do they have the right skill set? Then when you ask the culture question and you have your core values identified, you can say no to someone because you know that even though they're qualified, they might not fit in your company.
Mm-hmm.
So he also says that the three key people needed in any business are the entrepreneur or creator, which would be Brian and I in mm-hmm. our businesses,
mm-hmm.
and then the technical person, and then the manager. So like we were just saying, the owner or entrepreneur should not be the one doing all the technical work, and they shouldn't be the one doing all the project management.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I look at it a little bit. I mean, the same, but different. You know, it's the, you know, the entrepreneur, sort of the visionary, and then the operational manager. That's how I kind of view it. And then sure, you know, at least in the entry,
yeah.
Especially younger entrepreneurs, you know, we can share in tech.
Mm-hmm.
To get started, but mm-hmm. that to me is the perfect team.
Yeah.
Now, technical for my, like literally technical is something we can sell, technical services. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that I agree with that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think that he's got some really interesting stuff in here about the people side of the business and how to look at that. And so check out the CEO's mindset. How to break through to the next level.
Right.
Very
good. So the CEO mindset, Vinny Fisher, the CEO to the CEOs.
Yeah.
Tech for granted.
Yeah, so tech for granted. Speaking of hiring a team and, you know, having employees or having people working together, there's an application called Teamwork. And Teamwork is basically a place where you can share a project. You can, you know, have goals, you can have tasks, you can assign tasks to certain people and mark them completed, know when it's completed. It's just a really great tool for being able to stay organized and keep everybody on the same page and be able to track your progress, know what's been done, what hasn't been done, and hold people accountable.
Yeah, you know, I'm just kind of thumbing through it here. I had not heard of Teamwork before, but, you know, like Trello or something like that. It's very similar.
So Teamwork's kind of like Trello, but it's a little bit more robust.
Okay. Yeah, I'm seeing they got kind of their project management software, Teamwork Projects, Teamwork Desk, Help Desk, which is interesting, and then Teamwork Chat. All of them sort of have their chat feature.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of suggests that they can do for marketing creatives like yourself. Software development teams, anybody who's doing support, like that help desk function. And then it just says enterprise, just like general help your whole organization work better together, right? Mm-hmm. How'd you run into it?
Just a lot of people in my sphere use it.
Okay. And so the idea would kind of be as you hire, bring on interns, bring on new people, just ways to collaborate.
Yeah.
More efficiently.
So especially if you're working remotely with people, it's particularly useful. If you outsource any projects to another company, it's just a good way of making sure you stay on top of what's being done and how everything's proceeding.
Hmm. Okay. So to download this software, it's teamwork.com. They claim, and I'm always going to licensing. this is my nature as a technical salesperson. So it's free for 30 days. No credit card required. You can cancel at any time. So completely free. All right. So they've got two options. There's the free forever or a couple of, they get monthly or annual like anybody else. Free forever. $0 includes a certain amount of things, up to 5 users. So two active projects. That's not a lot of projects. That's where they're going to get you, right? So once you go above that, then it becomes $9 per user, minimum of 5 users.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so $45 a month is sort of the next one, which allows you up to 300 projects, which for any startup, this is probably the right fit for a startup business. But they give you a chance to do it for free and mm-hmm. get your feet wet in it. Annual billing is... looks to be, oh, I'm sorry, I was giving you annual billing. Mm. You know, they do that where they give you how much it is per month, yeah. but it's really, so multiply all that out, 45 times 12. And then the monthly is $11.25 per user per month, minimum of 5 users for five user minimum, 300 projects, all the good stuff. So it can be free to start and then a small investment if you see the value in it.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So... teamwork.com.
So, yeah. So I might mention also there's another sort of similar program called Trello.
Trello. Mm-hmm.
And that one's pretty popular and you know, it works pretty well free.
Yeah, whenever I'm helping people evaluate which app to go with, you know, both of these are ranked really well in the App Store, so they're both good. You know, how easy does it integrate with your current software? Mm-hmm. How do you like the usability? Pricing's probably consistent because they're in the same space, so they have to be. But you know, maybe what does support look like?
Yeah.
I don't. Careful not to judge it on how good is their sales, because your sales will say goodbye to you as soon as the sale's done.
Yeah.
It's more on how good is their technical support. So one of the things I always recommend is when you are doing that trial, put it to the test.
Yeah.
And let them know it's a part of your evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
And see how they do.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I used Trello extensively for one project that had a lot of tasks, you know, that if it was just being sent back and forth by email, things would have been getting lost versus setting it all up in a central location where multiple people could look at it and see what had been done versus had not yet been done, mark things completed, comment on things that were not, you know, that needed attention, et cetera.
Right.
So, I think it's really great if you have something that can start to get confusing if you're just going back and forth over email.
That's right. Yeah, and so, you know, for my company, we use an industry-specific software called ConnectWise, but you really, if you're going to grow your business or scale it in any sort of way, you have to have something, like she said, get it out of email.
Yeah.
Right. Well, all right. Well, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We got to do it more often.
I know. We need to get back on the wagon here.
Yeah. We'll try to be a little bit more regular with our approach. But it was really, really fun getting together with you. And for y'all that joined us, thanks for coming on board.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Y'all have a good day. Now go out and close some business.
Central Texas rain's the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media and visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.